జయం విష్ణుపాద పరమహంస పరిభ్రాజకాచార్య అష్టోత్తర శత శ్రీ శ్రీమాన్ అభయ చరణారవింద భక్తి వేదాంత గోస్వామి హర శ్రీల ప్రభుపాద జయం నిత్రిలా ప్రవిష్ట ఓం విష్ణుపాద పరమహంస పరిభ్రాజకాచార్య అష్టోత్తర శత శ్రీ శ్రీమాన్ భక్త సిద్ధాంత సరస్వతి మహర్షిల ప్రభుపాదకి అనంతకోటి వైష్ణవ బృందకి నామాచార్య శ్రీ హరిదాస్ ఠాకూర్ కి ప్రేమ సహో శ్రీకృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్య ఆనంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధార శ్రీవాసాది గౌర భక్త బృందకి శ్రీ శ్రీ రాధాకృష్ణ గోప గోవినాథ శ్యామకుండ రాధాగిరి గోవర్ధానికి బృందావన ధామికి మాయపూర్ ధామికి మధురపురి ధామికి జగన్నాథపురి ధామికి ద్వారకాపురి ధామికి గంగమాయకి యమునమాయకి తులసిదేవికి భక్తిదేవికి సమవేద భక్త బృందకి గౌర్ ప్రేమ ఆల్ గ్లోరియస్ అసెంబ్లీ డివోటీస్ ఆల్ గ్లోరియస్ అసెంబ్లీ డివోటీస్ ఆల్ గ్లోరియస్ అసెంబ్లీ డివోటీస్ ఆల్ గ్లోరియస్ ఆల్ గ్లోరియస్ శ్రీ శ్రీ గురు అని శ్రీ గౌర ఆల్ గ్లోరియస్ శ్రీ ప్రభుపాద నమో విష్ణుపదాయ కృష్ణప్రస్థాయ భూదలే శివరి భక్తి వేదాంత స్వామి నామిని నమస్తే సరస్వదేవం గౌరవాణి ప్రచారిణే నిర్విశేష శూన్యవాది పశ్చాత్తిదేశధారిణి ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ సంసార సాగరే మగ్నం దీనం మాం కరుణానిధే కర్మగ్రాహ గృహీతాంగం మాముద్ధర భవానవాత్ శ్రీమద్భాగవదాఖ్యోయం ప్రత్యక్ష కృష్ణమేవ హి స్వీకృతోసి మయా నాథ ముక్త్యర్థం భవ సాగరే మనోరథే మదీయోయం సర్వదా త్వయా నిర్విఘ్నేనైవ కర్తవ్యం దాసోహం భవ కేశవ భవే భవే యథా భక్తి పాదయో సమజాయతే తథా కురుష్వ దేవేశ నాదస్వం నమో యద ప్రభో నానాసంకీర్తనం యస్య సర్వభావ ప్రణాశనం ప్రణామో దుఃఖ శమనం తం నమామి హరిం పరం జన్మాద్యస్య యతోన్వయా ఇతరదస్ అర్థే స్వభిజ్ఞస్వరాత్ తేనే బ్రహ్మ హృదయ ఆదికవలే ముహ్యంతి యత్సూరయా తేజో భారీమృదం యథా వినిమయో యత్ర త్రిసర్గో మృష ధాన్నా స్వేన సదా నిరస్తకుహకం సత్యం పరం ధీమహి ధర్మాత్ ప్రోజ్జిత కైదవోత్ర వరమో మన్మత్సరాణం సదా వేద్యం వాస్తవమత్ర వస్తు శివదం తాపత్రయోన్మూలనం శ్రీమద్భాగవతే మహాముని కృతే కింవామరైరీశ్వర సద్యో హృద్యవరుధ్యనేత్ర కృతి శుశ్రూషుభీ తక్షణ నిగమకల్పతరోర్గలితం ఫలం శుకముఖాదమృతద్రవ సంయుతం విపద భాగవతం రసమాలయం ముహురహో రసిగా భువి భావుగాః సచ్చిదానంద రూపాయ విశ్వోత్పత్యాదిహేతవే తావత్రయ వినాశాయ శ్రీకృష్ణాయ వయం నమః యం ప్రవ్రజందం హనుభేదమభేదకృత్యం వైపాయనో విరహకాధరమాంశుభావ పుత్రేతి తన్మయదయత్తరవోభినేదు తం సర్వభూతహృదయం మినిమానతోస్మి యస్వానుభావమఖిలశ్రుతిసారమేకం అధ్యాత్మదీపం అదితిదేర్షదాంతమోంధం సంసారిణం కరుణయా పురాణగుహ్యం తమం వ్యాససూనం ఉభయామి గురుం మునీనాం నారాయణం నమస్కృత్య నరం చైవ నరోత్తమం దేవీం సరస్వతీం వ్యాసం తదో జయముదీరయే కమనీయ కిశోరముగ్ధమూఢే కళవేణు కునిదాదృదానందో మమ భాజి నిర్మదా మురారే మధురినా కనికాభి కాభి కాభి నమాహోం విష్ణుపదాయ కృష్ణప్రస్థాయ భూతలే శ్రీమతే భక్తివేదాంత స్వామి నామినే నమస్తే సరస్వతి దేవే
గౌరవాణి ప్రచారిణే నిర్విశేష శూన్యవాది పాశ్చాత్యాదేశధారిణే శ్రీమల్లూచరణారవిందాభ్యాం నమః. వందే నంద ప్రజశ్రీనాం పాదరేణుమభీష్ణశ యాసాం హరిగతోద్గీతం పునాధీభువనత్రయం గోపీచరణారవింద పరమానవే నమః. పీతాంబరం విరాజితచక్రశంఖం కౌమోదగీ సరసిజం కరుణాసముద్రం రాధాసహాయమతిసుందరమందహాసం వాదాలయేశమనిశం హృది భావయామి. కోమలం కూజయన్ వేణుం శ్యామలోయం కుమారగ వేదవేద్యపరం బ్రహ్మ భాసదం పురదో మమ. మూగం కరోతి వాజాలం అంగం లంఘయతే గిరిం యత్ర వాతమహం వందే పరమానందమాధవం. శ్రీకృష్ణాయ నమః. శ్రీమతి రాధికాయే నమః. సర్వత్ర గోవింద నామ సంకీర్తనం. గోవింద గోవింద.
Can you move a little bit forward, please? So, Krishna, while speaking to Uddhava, we saw that a person who is looking for self-realization, his relationship with this world, Krishna spoke about that before. Jayabhatya griha kshetra swajana dravinadishu udasina samam pashyan sarveshu artha yuvalmanah. If you look into the verse number 7, jayabhatya griha kshetra swajana dravinadishu udasina samam pashyan sarveshu artham yuvalmanah. Krishna says that his connection with this world should be such, for a man, the wife, the children, and home, the land or the wealth, or in his relationship with everything else in this world, udasinam. Udasinam means he has to have a very casual connection with the world. In other words, it should not be so serious that he gets implicated in that. Udasina samam pashyan, he says udasinam. Because the reason for that, Krishna says, sarveshu artham ivalmana. That is the reason why it should be like that. Because everything has come from the soul. Soul is the origin of everything. And because from soul, everything has come about in different forms in front of us. If you know that the reason behind, the cause of all causes, or the cause behind everything is the soul, and that soul is the same in everyone which has manifested in different forms, in different bodies. Therefore, Krishna says that udasinan, one should not think too much about what he sees with his eyes, rather he should recognize what is behind it, what's behind everything. That's what he says here, udasina samam pashyan sarveshu artham ivalmana. After saying that, he said in the next verse that the reason why he said that he should see equally everything, you should see equally, because it is the same substance in everything. The soul has transformed itself into different matter, in matter and in different forms, living entities. That's all nothing but a product of the soul. The soul has come about in these different forms. Therefore, Krishna is saying there that if you accepted that, then what is that soul? That is the next question, isn't it? What is that soul? What we are talking about. So in the next few verses, you will see there is a description of the soul's relationship with this with the matter. In other words, while these are topics, very complex subjects also in the Bhagavadam, because it's been taken from the Upanishads, and the Upanishads background is helpful in understanding these verses. Strictly they are from the Upanishads as such. Many of the examples given in the Bhagavadam are from Upanishads. And Upanishads were spoken with a very deeper understanding of the spiritual side rather than on the material side of life. So you will see there, Vilakshanaha Stuvala Sushmal Dehad Atmechida Swadrak Yatha Agnir Daruno Dahya Dahago Anyaha Prakashagaha Vilakshana Stuvala Sushmal Dehad Atmechida Swadrak Yathagnir Daruno Dahyo Dahagonya Pragashagaha. Krishna says there that as we saw before in the on last Sunday also, that Upanishads are not saying anything new. Upanishads is not asking you to believe in something which you cannot experience by your own mind intelligence. And with the logic what Upanishads have presented, if you analyze it, you should be able to accept it. This is Upanishads' logic. Upanishads does not want you to accept something blindly, which you do not know. Perhaps many things in the Vedic literature, you may find it difficult at this stage in our spiritual life to straight away accept it. So therefore, what they have spoken to us is, already that is something within us. That is already something within us and which is already executing its own side of life in its own way, what we have not taken notice of so far. That is what he is saying here, that the knowledge, what is already inside us, spiritual knowledge is in everyone. If it is something new that has to come from outside, then it has no meaning, because if it comes from outside, it can go also, isn't it? It makes sense, isn't it? That something, if it has to come to you from outside, then it can leave you also any moment. The Upanishad's point is, this knowledge is already in everyone. What has happened is, the knowledge is covered by ignorance or by lack of understanding due to association with the modes of nature or due to different vasanas what we have created. So somehow or the other, that relationship with Krishna. Krishna is inside every one of us. We are part and parcel of Krishna. Amsham we call it, isn't it? Mamayo Amsho Jivaloke. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says that. So, because it's like that, it is something inside everyone. All what Upanishads are doing is, it's saying to us that that thing what is inside, Upanishads are pointing out to us and telling us to look at it seriously. What's that? It says here that this knowledge which is inside, what we have not taken notice of before in our experience, what's happening. We have somehow managed to go away from the soul. That's what we have done. But had we taken more seriously what we are, what this body is, what the mind is, and how these are functioning, if you had thought about it in the way the sages have discussed in the Upanishads, we would have also come to the same conclusion. But unfortunately, we did not take that route. We took something else as for granted. We thought we are the body. We thought we are the mind. We thought also that this body is functioning due to, not due to the presence of the soul, but something else, which we don't know yet. So whatever it is, what Upanishads are saying is that there is something, if you had gone back to it, which you have not taken serious note of till now, please start giving some importance to it. That's what is spoken here. That this is what Shruti does. Upanishads does this. therefore that this is something which is already we are experiencing in our daily life. Only thing is we never took notice of it properly. This is the biggest problem, that we didn't take notice of it because the ignorance in us somehow or the other didn't allow us to do so. That therefore, based on logic, three things we mentioned before. Shastram is Shruti, Yukti, the logic, and Anubhavam, experience. Three things. Based on these three things only, you have to accept what the Upanishads are saying. So here it is said like this, that the by taking the shelter of the logic and reasoning, and by also taking the experience one's own experience, one can find out the truth. The interesting thing about this is not only that you will also realize the truth, but those who come after us will also can realize this truth in the same way. It's not something that you have to blindly accept it. Blind belief is not accepted in the Vedic philosophy. Blind belief has make no sense, because then it becomes like a like everybody else. It's not like that. Upanishads doesn't ask you to accept anything blindly. Upanishads, you will not be able to deny all the logic that's been put forward in the Upanishads. For example, say you are worshipping a deity form, any deities for that matter. The form you have worshipped, in that form the deity can appear in front of you. Isn't it? The deity can appear in front of you. Say you have worshipped Krishna as a baby, Krishna's form. And somehow or the other you have been fortunate enough that Krishna is pleased with you. Krishna will appear in front of you as the baby Krishna. Or if Krishna wants to appear in front of you as the driving the chariot of Arjuna, Parthasarathi form, he can appear if you worship Krishna in that form. Similarly, all other devadas also, Shiva, Ganesh or Kartikeya, anyone, if you worship that form, and they will appear in that form in front of you. They'll appear in that form in front of you. But here what Upanishads are saying is that this truth, what is discussed in the Upanishads, is unchanging. It remains the same forever. It has no change at all. Just like the consciousness or the presence of the soul inside the body is realized by the presence of the consciousness. Listen, consciousness is what we are. We are consciousness. And that consciousness is always there, is always inside us, all the time. And not only that, whether we believe it or not, even if we go through the three states of existence of Jagrat, Swapna and Sushupti, still we are conscious of that we exist, that I am existing, isn't it? That even if death comes, even at that point, this feeling that I am there comes very strongly in a person. He will never be able to accept this reality, this consciousness that I am going to finish now. I may think at the time of death that the body is I'm going to lose this body, or I'm going to die now, but I am not going to disappear. I will stay. This is the beauty of the knowledge in the Upanishads. Upanishads are pointing out this one fact to us. Irrespective of what is going to happen to you, even while changing this body, still the realization that I am going to exist ever will never leave us. Because it is the truth. That is the truth, that I am going to exist. So when we normally say that even though we identify with the body, even though we identify with the body, strictly speaking, we don't identify with the body. We identify with the soul. Only due to the problem what we have now is that the mind, the body, the senses, the soul, it's all mixed up in our present relationship with the body. So majority of times, because we don't know what we are, we get confused about it. And then sometimes identify with the body, sometimes with the mind. But deep behind everything, that I am different than the body, I am different than the mind, this realization does exist in everyone. It exists in everyone. It is not impossible to take it away from anybody, because they know the truth is that we are that. all the Upanishads were pointing out to this one fact. That so once we come back to that position to understand that if I am something different than all these things, that inquiry for self-identity of the self begins from that point. Identity of the self begins from then. Therefore, once we direct our attention inwards, then we will see that there is something inside which is not touched by the body, not touched by the mind, or not touched by the senses or intelligence, something different than all of these things. So, having said that, Krishna is saying here, Vilakshanastuvilasushmal Dehad Atmendriya Sodrakha. Krishna is saying there that the Vilakshana, Vilakshana means that the body by nature also, that the knowledge what we are looking for, Stulam and Sushmam. Stulam and Sushmam. Stulam means gross. Sushma means subtle. Stulam means gross. Sushma means subtle. So these two things are in us, isn't it? But subtle than all these things, the gross and the subtle thing, is the soul. More subtle than everything else. So Krishna says here that once we take to the shelter of a spiritual master, you will understand that this my real identity is neither this gross body nor the subtle body. Neither the gross body nor the subtle body. So, in order to take us to that realization, the Acharya instructs the person in such a way that little by little he separates out everything from him. All the dirt that has gone in, which has caused this temporary identification with the body, with the mind and other things, that has to be eliminated. And then once that is done, then the knowledge of the self will automatically shine forward, will come out from the person. So, exactly how is it spoken? The disciple's responsibility here is to, nobody can do that for somebody else. No one can do that. Even the spiritual master cannot light it for you. You have to light the lamp yourself from the spiritual master and burn that within yourself. That is the duty of the disciple, disciple's responsibility. So Krishna is saying here that that this thing called soul, which he mentioned here, Vilakshida Stula Sushma Dehad Almekshida Swadrika. Two words are present there. Ichida and Swadrik. It says here, Ichida and Swadrik. Ichida and Swadrik. They are two important words. Ichida and Swadrik. And to understand those words, Ichida and Swadrik, it says here, Dahakaha Prakashakaha Agnihi Yatha Dahyad Darunaha Anyaha Tatha Ichida Swadrik Alma Stula Sushmad Vilakshanaha Bhavadi. The material world, what we see with our eyes, is drishyam, or what we see is called drishyam, what we experience through our senses. To make it a little easier to understand these words, Ichida and Sodrak. A great Acharya was traveling once through in his Parivrajaka stage. In his realized state, he was traveling. While traveling, he arrived in a village where Vedic philosophy was very, very much studied by the Brahmanas who lived in that village. They have studied it very well. All the Brahmana families there, they were very learned in the Vedas. So when the Acharya arrived there, and there were many older members, very elderly members, who have studied the Vedas, Upanishads very well in that area. So when this Acharya arrived there, one of the older members of the among the Brahmanas who have studied Vedas asked him that whole of my life I have studied Upanishads, but I did not get self-realized. I didn't get any realization, he said. That so the Acharya said to him, told him that what can I do if you haven't realized the truth? Because Upanishads generally people study, they expect that they will realize the truth by, if somebody who has taken the study of Upanishads seriously, they expect to realize the truth. So when he mentioned this, the Acharya mentioned to him, what can I do? What is the question? What doubt have you got? That was his question back to him. In answer to that, he recited a verse from the Kathopanishad, who this Brahmana said to him, I have understood the verbal meaning of this verse. The verse says, na tatra suryo bhadi na chandra taragam nema vidhido bhadi bhandi kutoyam agni tameva bhada anubhadi sarvam tasya bhasa sarvamidham vibhadi. This is the verse in the Kathopanishad. It's a very important verse in the Kathopanishad. Na tatra suryo bhadi na chandra taragam nema vidhido bhandi kutoyam agni tameva bhada anubhadi sarvam tasya bhasa sarvamidam vibhadi. This is a verse in the Kathopanishad. So when the Brahmana said this, Acharya asked him that what did you understand from this verse, he said. So he said that I understand the verbal meaning of this verse, but I still don't realize it, he said. I'm still not able to realize this verse. So the Acharya started realize the difficulty what he was going through. The difficulty was this. Please listen to this very carefully, because it's a little bit difficult to get it through into the mind. Na tatra suryo bhadi na chandra taragam. We see this world. How do we see this world? We see this world. Acharya asked him, how do you see this world? He said, in the daytime, I see the world in the sunlight, which is true. Every one of us see because of the sunlight during the day. In the night, how do you see? Acharya asked him, how do you see at night? In the night, I see either with the help of the moonlight, or if I bring a lamp, I see the objects with the help of a lamp. In the daytime, I see it with the help of sunlight. In the nighttime, I see it with the help of a lamp or with the moonlight. Fine. Okay. So then the Acharya asked him that if it is like that, how do you see the sun and the moon? How do you see the sun and the moon? If you ask somebody, how do you see the sun and the moon? What will they answer? If you ask a child, he will say, I'm seeing with my eyes, isn't it? What is the difficulty in understanding this, isn't it? What's the difficulty in understanding? I'm looking at the sun, I can see with my eyes. Is that the easiest answer to give? So the Acharya said to him, if you are seeing with the eyes, if eyes is what is giving you the vision, as soon as a dead body is lying there, if I open my eyes, will he see that? Will he see the sun and the moon if I open his eyes? What does that mean? It means that eye is not actually what is seeing. Eye is not what is actually seeing. There is something more which is illuminating the eye, which is actually behind the eye working so that he is seeing that. Isn't it? Do you see the point in that? That during the day you see with the sunlight everything, the world. During the night you bring a lamp and see it. But how do you see the sun and the lamp? You may say the answer that you are seeing with the eye, but the fact is that eye, which has not gone, which is functional eye, even if you are dead, you should be able to see if eye is what is seeing the thing. But the fact is that eye is not what is actually seeing. Exactly like when you go to dreams, you are seeing things, so you are not opening your eyes, are you? Without your eyes open, you are still seeing things. Very clearly, as much as you see during the day in the sunlight, you are still able to see. It shows that the eye has the power of the eyes to see something is provided by something else. Ajahn Swami was saying, trying to tell him to slowly bring his understanding from the gross things to the subtle side of it, more and more subtle, to bring him up to the subtle platform of seeing. This is only in as respect to one sense we are talking about now, one sense. But because in the verse it's spoken, Nadatra Suryo Bhadi Na Chandra Tarakam Nema Vidyido Bhadi Kutoyam Agni. Sun and the moon cannot show it to us. What is the possibility of fire even can light that before us? Even a fire cannot show that to us. Why? Tameva Bhandam Anubhadi Sarvam Yatasya Bhasa Sarvam Idam Vibhadi. So, if we are seeing something during the dream state, we easily understand that the eyes are not functioning at that moment, but I am still seeing. How do I see? With the presence of the mind. Mind is what is helping us to see things at that time, isn't it? But if mind is seeing something, Upanishads are saying, there is something else behind the mind which allows him to see. Isn't it? Which allows him to see. So, from the platform of the senses, slowly his consciousness is rising to the level of the mind. Consciousness is rising to the level of the mind. Then the question was asked, how come if the mind can see things, is the mind existing all the time? Mind doesn't exist all the time. So, at that time, how do you see? And if the mind is able to see and accept something, there must be an intelligence behind it as well. So, from the sensual platform to the mental platform, from the mental platform to the platform of the intelligence. And as soon as you've gone into the deep sleep state, there is, you are not seeing anything, but when you come out, that person is still existing, who is reporting back to you that I had gone through this state of deep sleep, isn't it, where you have experienced that. So, he was saying that you can see like this, that as you go up further and further in your understanding, you will see there, Yasya Bhasa Sarvam Idam Vibhadi, that's what he is saying, that if he is not there, the soul behind everything, all this thing called mind, intelligence, all these things called the mind, the intelligence, the senses, they all have no value. They all have no value. They are all Yasya Bhasa Sarvamidam Vibhadi. That's what Kathopanishad is saying. It's only due to the presence of the soul inside. It's not something you have to accept because Kathopanishad said like that. You have to use your own logic and see does it make sense or not. That's the most important thing. Kathopanishad is not asking you to blindly accept things. Kathopanishad is saying that Yasya Bhasa Sarvamidam Vibhadi. It is only due to the presence, he is shining behind, who? The soul. That all these things are happening inside the body. That presence of the soul illuminates the intelligence. Presence of the soul illuminates the mind. Presence of the soul illuminates the senses. And when he is there, the soul is there, and he is illuminating all these things, the mind, the intelligence and the senses, you are able to perceive this world. Otherwise the world doesn't exist. Otherwise the world doesn't exist. Is anybody in difficulty with this accepting it? Or are you still thinking there's some scientific reason behind, or there are some other scientific logic behind it? This is the logic of the sages. And there is no question to doubt about this. If you have accepted in your mind, if you are not polluted with scientific knowledge, it is easy to accept it. If too much science has gone in, it may find it difficult, because then all the useless questions will start coming from there. But if you are not contaminated with the modern science, then it is easier to accept this. It's not difficult. Yasya bhasa sarvamidam vibhadi. It's only due to his presence inside. And who is that? The living entity, the soul, part and parcel of Krishna. It is only because he is inside we are able to see things. And this is the point Krishna is making to Uddhava also, and all the sages through all the Upanishads. Our modern science has not even reached anywhere closer to this understanding. For them, it is still probably in the sensual level, it is still operating. They may have so many other explanations, whatever it is, it may be. But Upanishad's understanding is this. Yasya bhasa sarvamidam vibhadi. Everything is there because he is there behind. If he is not there, none of these things are there. It's a very, very taking us to more and more and more towards the subtle side of it. It's much more deeply subtle inside. It is he who is present and showing everything to us. In his absence, none of these things exist. Eyes can't do it, mind can't do it, intelligence can't do it. And what to talk about the lights or the sun and the moon? All of them don't exist if he is not there. So this one point is important, because when the discussion about the soul comes, when we are discussing about the soul, because we are so much engrossed in the matter, our understanding of the matter is very good, not about the soul. The understanding of matter for us is very good. So we will still, our tendency will be to continue to research through the matter, everything. So in order to avoid that, Krishna has spoken here that that the how everything what we are perceiving with the senses, then the sense objects, if behind that, if this was not there, that the soul wasn't existing there, it is not possible that none of these things will happen in a person. None of these things will happen in a person. So to take us, though, when Acharya talked about this to the Brahmana, because it was coming from a person who had totally realized, automatically the lamp got lit in the heart of the old Brahmana also. What did he say then? Well, at that point he says, Tadasmi Prabho. At that time he was showing his gratitude to the Acharya for illuminating him with this understanding. So sometimes spiritual knowledge is not something to be intellectually understood. It is something to be realized. And all we have to do is to keep our scientific, modern scientific knowledge separately and start seeing as an ordinary person, unaffected by the modern scientific logic. Then it will click. And once it clicks, it won't go. Tadasmi Prabho, as he said, the old Brahmana said to him, Tadasmi Prabho, that now I see who I am, he said. Now I see who I am. Up to that point, he was still missing the point that as soon as he realized that it is due to the presence of the soul inside that everything was happening inside. So that's what it is mentioned there. So, so Upanishads ask us that constantly one should think this point through. In everything, when he is experiencing so many things in this world, through the senses, whose presence is actually helping him to experience this. Otherwise, it is not going to happen. Actually, we have, normally we say three types of bodies, sthulam, sushmam, karanam, isn't it? Gross, subtle and causal body. Leave the third one, at least you should take the two very seriously. Which one? The gross body and the subtle body. Now, gross body, we see that as soon as, every time when we refer to our own gross body, I'll always say that it's my hand or my my head or my legs. In everything is, it's not, I'm not saying I am this hand. I said it's my hand. Similarly, I'm not saying I am the leg. I say it's my leg. So whenever we refer to, whenever we refer to anything, we'll always say like that, it is my leg or my hand. From that, in other words, I'm not the leg, I'm not the hand. In that way, I'm not this body also. None of them is me. I'm not any one of these things. In that way, analyzing, one can understand that one is not the body. That is a gross one. Similarly, the subtle one, mind. When you take the mind, you can see mind is nothing but a continuous flow of thoughts, isn't it? A continuous chitavritti, they call it. Continuous flow of thoughts. And these thoughts are coming one after the other and they disappear. When they come and then they disappear also. So, in this example, when he has mentioned about this, he said that this chittavritti or the activities of the mind, when one starts seeing them, understanding them, for example, anger develops in a person or any other emotions, it comes in a person. We have normally, there are two ways of dealing with it, isn't it? What are it? Suppose you get angry with somebody, what is the option left? One option is to react straight away and release the energy on that person and get rid of it. That's one option. The second option is to suppress it inside and not allow that to come about and tolerate it, isn't it? To tolerate it. Now, if you study Bhagavad Gita, if you will see there in the 14th chapter, Krishna talks about a person called Gunatitan. I don't know whether you had looked at that. Gunatitan. Gunatitan means one who has transcended the three modes of nature. One who has transcended the three modes of nature. What does it mean, Gunatitan means? That apart from these two options, there is a third option. The third option is this. That when he is seeing that as much soon as an emotion or any anger or any such thought develops inside, he is able to separate himself from that thought and able to observe, these are thoughts that is coming through my mind. Coming through my mind. Unfortunately, it is a difficult thing to do always because we have, for many, many lifetimes, we took it upon others and got rid of the problem. And even now we do the same thing. So, but what Shastram is saying is that, Krishna is saying also in the Bhagavad Gita, that if you can see the chitavritti, chitavritti means these activities of the mind, and if you are able to observe that independently from the mind, fully knowing well that you are nothing to do with the mind. Actually, mind is nothing but a continuous flow of thoughts. When you identify with the mind, then you react. If you don't identify with the mind, you don't react. You don't react to the situation. That's why he's saying there that in the 14th chapter that that this mind, which is nothing but a group of thoughts which is flowing through all the time, if one is able to observe them completely, you will see that where did this anger build up from? Where did this originate, this anger? This anger has originated inside because of the what? Because of false ego inside. False ego inside. The soul has nothing to do with any of these things. Soul is totally independent. And Shastram is telling us that this understanding of the mind is essential in order to come to the spiritual platform. Otherwise, we'll get stuck in the mental platform. We'll get stuck in the mental platform. So, those who are looking for self-realization, or those who want to free themselves from the influence of the mind, Krishna says there, he has to develop this understanding that material world is nothing but combination of three modes of nature, isn't it? Sattvam, Rajasa and Tamasa. So, sattva, rajasa, tamogunam, three gunas are working, and in that process all these thoughts are building up inside. And if we go and fall into it, into these three modes, then the possibility is that one of them will catch us. One of them will catch us. They will not allow you to free yourself. So if by training the mind, Krishna will talk about that later in the Bhagavatam also, if one can all the time, constantly analyze this, that mind is a function of the different thoughts that's going through, which has nothing to do with myself, which is the soul, and everything, anything happens within the mind is nothing but one of the modes of nature that has infected the mind. If we think like that, every time when an anger comes inside, what Krishna says there is, if anger builds up inside, that anger will go and dissolve from where it has originated. And that will not be exactly like the way we have suppressed it. If you suppress it, it will cause problem, because then it will develop problems with the stomach. If you eat some food after you got very angry, it will upset the whole stomach, isn't it? Everybody knows that. That if you take food and if you are not peaceful while eating, the result will be that your stomach will be upset. And that is also practically you can see. So, or other alternative, if you get upset with somebody else and get annoyed with him, that is also going to cause problems. So neither to throw it away or to digest it yourself. The easiest, the Krishna is saying there is that the anger should be directed. One should at that point should think, where did this anger come from? Where was it originating from? The moment that thought comes in, automatically it will go and dissolve itself from where it has originated. That is, generally, the anger has developed in a person because of the false ego inside. False ego has come because of that, the soul has been forgotten and identification with the ego has begun. So, a gunadhidan, Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, a gunadhidan, one who has transcended the modes, he is a person who Krishna calls as the gunadhidan. Gunadhidan, in Bhagavad Gita you will find different terminology, but it all refers to the same thing. Whether you call him as a devotee, bhakta, or a sthita prajna, or a gunadhida, these are all different words. But in reality, what Krishna is saying, it is the same thing. But if you have crossed over the modes of nature, Krishna is saying that you should be able to take that anger towards the mind where it has come from, and mind which has come from the false ego, and it will die, that emotion will die out there. This is Krishna's words on that. And if you will see also samadukha. in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna, while talking about that, he also talks about the necessity to develop that equality while observing things in this world. These things won't happen otherwise. In order to explain that, Krishna said that samaloshtashma kanchana, that in relationship with a person, if you remember in the Bhagavad Gita also, Krishna said, vidya vinaya sampanne brahmane gavi hastini shuni jaiva shobageja pandita samadarshina, that samadarshitvam or equal vision will only happen if one knows that in everything what is present is the soul, isn't it? The soul is present in the elephant, soul is present in the cow, soul is present in the dog eater, in the Brahmana, learned Brahmana, in everywhere. Krishna expects us to see the soul, isn't it? He expects us to see the soul. If you see the soul, that equal vision will come to a person. So, that's what was explained in that verse. Vilakshana sula sushmad. Vilakshana sula sushmal dehad almekshida sudrak. So, then, why did this happen to us in this way? Why have we did not develop this attitude, this way of seeing things in the same way everywhere? Krishna has spoken this in the Bhagavadam at different places. The main reason for that is, he says there, that everything that is what is known as adhyasam. Adhyasam means imagination. The closest word to that is imagination. What is imagination? Imagination means that in our own mind, we have imagined that, accepted this body as the self. Although truly we are not the body, truly we are not the body, due to ignorance or due to modes of nature, we have accepted body as the self. Body as the self. And not only that, body as the self, we have also accepted sometimes the mind as the self, isn't it? So at different times, depending on which platform we are operating. So when we are operating on a bodily level, you are identifying with the body. When you are operating on a mental platform, mental level, you are identifying with the mind. When you are operating on an intellectual level, you are identifying with the intelligence. Or when your ego is operating, then you are on an ego platform. So whatever it is, all the time you are moving from one to another, one to another. And sometimes it also happens other identifications in this world, Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, different bodily identities. That comes in. So, Krishna says to Uddhava that when so many identities are stacked up, where is it stacked up? It's stacked up over the self, isn't it? Over the soul. It is stacked up over the self. All the different identities like this. Body, mind. Body, mind, intelligence. And so many other things, so many other bodily designations. These are all things which are stacked up above the soul, over the soul. This has all been stacked up above the soul. The reality is that through this process of thought process, one has to eliminate everything from inside. One has to eliminate everything from inside. And that is the most difficult job. That is the most difficult job. How do we eliminate these false identities we have acquired? And that is where Krishna's instructions becomes very important. Krishna is explaining to us that first identify the disease. What the disease is? Disease is this, that our true identity as the soul, we have no connection with it. We have identified with so many other things, and all this kind of knowledge we have stacked up above the soul, and we constantly work with different identities as though we are body or we are the mind or we are the intelligence in that way. So in the world, when you look, you must know that these things always existing, isn't it? These things are always existing. You will not be able to get rid of them from the world. You will not be able to get rid of it from the world. Because the reason for that is, the world is always on a bodily level. Isn't it? The world is always on a bodily level. So Krishna's philosophy is, what Krishna is telling us is, that instead of worrying about the world too much, worry about yourself and get yourself clear out of it first. Most of us, what do we do? First we want to sort out the world, isn't it? But this philosophy, Krishna's philosophy is this, and this is the philosophy of Upanishads as well, is first thing is to eliminate all that things that has come upon us and covered our own knowledge is completely covered. And because it is covered, we start thinking that, oh, we have to correct the whole society first, isn't it? We want to clear the society from this ignorance. What Upanishads are saying is, don't go in that direction. The reason for that is, This world is made of three modes of nature. If you try to change the world and think that you can change the society, society actually doesn't exist. The reality is that. But in illusion, we are thinking, oh, we have a society, we have a community, we have this, we have that. Is there any society or a community in this world which stays as it is? In the history, has it changed any time? Has it stayed as it is any time? Never. The moment you change, look to your own body, the change is going on in the body constantly. Isn't it? Same thing with the material nature also, and same thing with the society also. This is all nothing but products of illusion. Nothing but products of illusion. When our vision is contaminated with Maya, we will see all these things as important, not the soul. Instead of seeing that the society is also subject to, it's constantly changing. Suppose you have a society existing anywhere in this world. Is all the members of the society existing same? Is all the members have the same way of thinking? No. They're all different according to their different modes of nature. But what do we say? We say, oh, that community or that society, we say. That has no meaning because that society doesn't exist, what we are pointing at. There may be certain characteristics in a society common. Some people have a common nature, way of eating or way of living. That may be common, but their consciousness, their thought processes, they are never the same. They are all different from one individual to another. So because it is like that, Krishna says that instead of first trying to rectify everything else in this world, you take out everything what has gone in, the false things, and get yourself cleared up. Strictly speaking, all those who have realized the truth, this is what they have done. This is what they have done. And those who have turned around to change the society, what has happened to them? They have fallen from that. What will happen is, they will start religion then. This is how religions have started. This is where that thin line of difference between spiritual life and religion comes. The moment you start thinking that I have to change this world, and this world changing, I have been sent here to change the world, and I start acting in that level, you will realize one day that all your effort is at the end a waste of time. Nothing has changed in this world. The world will go on. It has its own route already chalked out. It will carry on its own way. What change is required is within us. The Upanishad statement on this is that if you have changed, somebody else may notice that and take the benefit of your change. Observe that from you and learn the process of self-realization in that way. But if you start changing the world, what will happen at the end is that instead of spiritual life, it will become religion. And that is how all the religions in this world has come about. Hinduism, Islam, Christianity, these are all prophets have started. All the great personalities who have preached these different religions, they are all people who have fallen from spirituality into religion. This is where Upanishads stays different than everybody else. Upanishads don't want you to fall into that trap again. Stay in the platform of spiritual life rather than in the platform of religion. Once you go into religion, what will happen? You will become a Hindu or a Muslim or a Christian and then fight. Mine is better than yours, yours is better than mine. So this is where the thin line of difference between spirituality and religion. All the great, great personalities who have started different religions in this world are those who have advanced very much, but then they felt the need to change the world and then they fell. And that will happen. You can't avoid that. Vilakshana stula soshmal dehad ichidatma sodrik. That's where Krishna is saying these two words, ichidatma and sodrik, are important. You're always looking at the soul, not in the body. Not into all the religious rituals and all that. That's all behind. That you have to leave it behind. Because now Krishna wants us to understand our identity as the soul and to stay in that spiritual position. Every religion in this world has come like this. And therefore, Upanishad says that Vilakshana Stula Sushmal, Stulam and Sushmam, the gross and the subtle things, they all have to be left behind. Although the mind, intelligence, false ego, it is a subtle side, even that has to be left behind. Because even they are getting illuminated by the soul from inside. If the soul wasn't there, they won't be there either. It is only in the presence of the soul all these things are happening. So, then, while mentioning this, in Bhagavad Gita, as well as in Srimad Bhagavatam, Krishna has never identified this knowledge with any particular sect, has he? Do you see anywhere in Bhagavad Gita or Srimad Bhagavatam, Krishna is referring to this knowledge only for a particular sect of people? Nowhere, you will find it. How come Krishna spoke like that? Because Krishna is speaking from this state of consciousness of the soul. Only then it can be accepted by everybody. Because it is applies to everyone. Whoever has got a body, who has got a soul inside, it applies to him. It doesn't matter, including the animals, including the plants, the trees, everything, because they are all manifested from the soul. And that is why, while studying Upanishads, the Upanishads knowledge stayed so high above every other religions, which were started by different personalities at different times, and which actually created a lot of difficulties in this world. But if you look into the origin, where it has come from, you can see that this is how it happened. That instead of keeping everyone on that spiritual consciousness, identifying with the soul only, but the moment they have wanted to change the world and purify the world and make this world a better place, there the fall down starts. There the problem starts, and then it will cause a lot of problems in this world. One who is looking for the truth, he will find the truth in this world. Nothing will be able to stop him. By your propaganda, that's not going to change. That the truth he is looking for, he will find it. Somehow or the other, he'll find it. All depends on the person who is looking and how intensely he is looking for. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, in order to explain this point very clearly, that Vedavyasa Maharshi brings Parikshit Maharaj in that level. Parikshit Maharaj, when he realized that he has to leave his body in 7 days' time, he did not have any kind of questions to ask except about Krishna, isn't it? When we talk about Krishna means, we should not misunderstand that he just wanted to know only Krishna's childhood pastimes in Vrindavanam, or what he heard about Krishna from his father and grandfather. No, Krishna is a lot more than that, what is discussed in the Srimad Bhagavatam. So there you will see Parikshit Maharaj, he because his search for the truth was so intense, when he came to know that he had only 7 days to leave the body, Parikshit realized that he became the best seeker of the truth in this world. His search was the most powerful search. Most powerful search he had. And because the search was so powerful, he did not have to go looking for a spiritual master. Spiritual master was sent to him. Krishna sends the spiritual master. Sudev Goswami comes to see him. And when he came to see him, when you have to go through Bhagavatam in detail to understand the significance of all these things. Because when Parikshit Maharaj saw Sukadev Goswami, if you look into the conversation between Parikshit and Sukadev Goswami, you will see there Parikshit's questions were such that I wanted to know what is Krishna, who is Krishna, and talk to me about Krishna, he says. When we say Krishna, referring to the soul inside, everyone also. It is Krishna who is present everywhere. It is that soul. Aham evasam evagre nanyadil sadasal param paschadaham yadedacha yoga shishyada sosmeham. That in the Chadashlogi Bhagavatam, the first verse itself referring to Krishna like this, isn't it? Krishna is referred to in the Chatushloki, in the four verses of Bhagavadam. That first verse itself, it's only me who existed in the beginning. It's only me who existed at the end. And in the middle also only me who existed. Isn't it? The way when Krishna manifested through the, if you look into the Bhagavadam, you will see there, Kasmayena vibhasitoda madula jnana pradipa pura tadruvena janaradaya munaye krishnaya tadruvina. In the beginning, when Krishna was sitting, he wanted to have some association. So in the Vishnu form, he looked towards his navel, and when he looked, a lotus flower came about from there. When he looked into the lotus flower opened. When the lotus flower opened, he looked inside again, and Krishna appeared there as Lord Brahma inside that lotus flower. And then Krishna transferred the knowledge from his heart to Brahma's heart. Tene Brahma Hridaya Adigavaye Muhyandayat Suraya. That the way the transmission took place was from Krishna's heart to Brahma's heart. Then sitting as Brahma inside the lotus, Krishna decided that he should have a disciple to talk about this. So Krishna appeared again as Narada Maharshi. And sitting inside Brahma, Krishna spoke Srimad Bhagavatam and transmitted to Narada Maharshi's heart. Sitting inside Narada Maharshi's heart, Krishna decided to transmit the knowledge to Vedavyasa Maharshi. And sitting inside as Vedavyas, Krishna decided to transmit the knowledge to Sukadev Goswami. And sitting inside as Sukadev Goswami, Krishna decided to transmit the knowledge to Parikshit. So like this, Srimad Bhagavatam is always spoken by Krishna. Only thing is, it's always going through one person to another, one person to another. So, we're talking about this one thing. That this knowledge, what Krishna says here in the Srimad Bhagavatam, is inside everyone. Is inside everyone. So, as much as we understand, it is the spiritual side, it is the spiritual knowledge that Krishna is concerned about in the Srimad Bhagavatam. It is that spiritual knowledge. And our duty as those who are looking for the truth has to find it and light our own effort is necessary in realizing that truth, what Krishna has spoken in the Bhagavatam. Just like the example is given, suppose you want to go home, and if you do not know, if you want the light, it can be handed over to you. Somebody can offer you a torch. But going home, using the torch is your own responsibility. I may not know the route. You will know the route. So each one of us, you can give them the torch, but getting home with the torch is one's own responsibility. Isn't it? So similarly, Krishna is saying here, that this knowledge in the Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, what Krishna has given to us, it's our duty to take that knowledge from Bhagavad Gita, from Srimad Bhagavatam, and to light the lamp within ourselves. Nobody else is going to do it for us. We have to do that. Nobody else is going to do it for us. We will have to do that. And this is why spiritual life is very much an individual's responsibility also. Sometimes people think that if I go to a guru or if I go to someone else, oh, he can solve my problem. But this one problem, nobody can solve. On the other hand, if you go to somebody, and because your knowledge, your realization, your mind, your karma, your vasanas is only known to you, nobody else. Even you do not know enough about it. Where is a question of, no acharya will be able to find out your prarabdham and your vasanas and your karma and to give you the right instruction, the way what you have to do. So, strictly speaking, it is an individual's responsibility in that way to understand things. The knowledge has to be taken, no doubt about that, from the acharya, from the shastram, and from the other wherever the source, what one has to receive. But developing the knowledge And realizing the self is one's own responsibility. That one cannot go away from that. On the other hand, if you think that somebody else will sort that problem and he is going to give you all the instructions, what can happen is sometimes his instructions, he may do it out of your good, out of his good heart, which he thinks is good for you, but because he does not know your prarabdham and your mind, it can come as an obstacle in your own spiritual life. It can develop that way also. Because you may take instructions from people which you may not be able to understand properly, and that person may have done with good intentions, but your own body, your needs in spirituality is only known to you and nobody else. Upanishads are there to show us the light, and they will show the light to us. This is the reality. It is up to us to take that into heart and to develop that from there. And that is why all these verses are spoken in the Bhagavatam from now on. Vilakshana sthula sushmal dehad almekshida sodrak deha almekshida sodrak yadha agnirundaruno dahya dahagonya prakashagaha. Vilakshana sthula sushmal, then just like the fire, when the fire enters into the firewood, into the wood, what happens? The wood start burning, isn't it? The wood start burning. And the fire will take the shape of the firewood as well. It will take the shape of the firewood and it will burn the wood as well. It will burn the wood, and eventually what happens? What it says here, Eda agnir daruno dahyo dahagonya prakashagaha. Then, eventually it will burn the wood and the whole fire will disappear. The whole fire will disappear. It will turn into ashes. Similarly, the soul enters the body, illuminates everything exactly like the fire. Exactly like the fire. It illuminates the body. Illuminates in the sense, it allows the mind to function, the intelligence to function, the senses to function, and experience the world in different ways, the senses. So all these things are happening in the body because of the presence of the soul. And at one point, the soul, having allowed all these things to happen, the soul withdraws, and when all the other things all collapses, exactly like the wood. The fire enters into the wood, it burns the wood for some time, and the wood burns, and you see the light, you see the heat, you experience the heat also. And the shape of the fire is exactly like the shape of the wood, what it has been burning. Similarly, in all the different bodies in this world, Krishna enters as the soul and allows the souls to function the way it functions, according to its own vasanas and according to its own karma. And eventually, Krishna withdraws from that body, so the soul, everything collapses at that point. That's what is mentioned there. Yada agnir daruno dahya dahagonya prakashagaham. That dahagonya prakashaga. That while it is burning, it illuminates. In the same way, the same thing happens to this body also. While referring to this, Shastram is saying to us that this lighting, this illuminating is done only at that point. While the soul is illuminating, we have the option to come to this realization. Otherwise, not. So, as I mentioned before, that this responsibility is on us. Nobody can do that for us. We have to take the knowledge from Shastram. Shastram will give us the directions. Shastram will put it to us in a logical way. But taking that knowledge and realizing it is our responsibility, not the responsibility of anybody else, and nobody else can do that for us. Number one. Number two, as we saw, that if we too go to others and thinking that others can help us in that way, it may cause sometimes problems also, because that person do not know as well as you know about yourself. Like, you know your own weaknesses and strengths in the spiritual life, where it's coming from. And accordingly to search for the truth from with that background is our own responsibility. What to talk about anybody else? A husband and a wife will not think alike. They are also different. Their prarabdham is different, their vasanas are different, and their knowledge is different, their realizations are different. So if you think that I can make it a family affair, spiritual life, we'll all have one guru who will help the whole family to go out from together to spiritual world, that's a misunderstanding. That won't happen. Sometimes we take all these misunderstandings in our mind. Because our vasanas are different, our mind is different, our prarabdha karma is different, every individual is different. So a husband and a wife cannot have the same spiritual instructions, won't apply. The weakness in a man and the weakness in a woman may be different. Similarly, between the father and the son can be different. It won't be the same. Father's realization will be different, son's realization will be different. Similarly, two friends, if you think, or they are friends always, since God brothers or whatever we call it, and even they, if you think that they will go together to the spiritual world, that's also not going to happen. Nothing is going to happen because it is an individual thing. It's very much an individual thing. That's what Krishna wants us to understand. That we are always thinking that that this understanding in spiritual life, that we can be together and we can all do it together, that does not work. Spiritually, individually, one has to go his own way. Eventually, that's only what will, at the end, will help us. All the other things, they'll come. Wherever you find benefit, you can take it from them. But otherwise, they can't help anywhere. Nobody can help you on this. So, Krishna, having said that, he says here, Yadhagdar dairuno dahyo dahagonya prakashaga. Because we do not follow this seriously, we get disappointed in spiritual life also. In Lord Buddha's case, this is a very famous story. What happened to Lord Buddha? Lord Buddha had deep realizations, isn't it? From him, the others started Buddhism. Lord Buddha didn't start Buddhism. Please don't misunderstand. Buddha didn't start Buddhism. Buddhism started later on. So Buddha had realizations and he spoke his realizations and he left this world. And he gave certain instructions, something around 30 or 35 instructions, I think about 30 instructions to his followers to follow. He told them that these are my realizations to follow for the Buddha bhikshus. Bhikshus were asked to follow that. But after Buddha left this world, the others started thinking that we should make it a little bit better. It happens always, isn't it? That the followers start thinking that we will sort this out in a better way to suit the times and suit the people. So these 30 instructions became something like 70,000 instructions for the rest of the world to follow. So when these instructions all were happening, Buddha was gone by now. It just happened later after that. So it so happened, while Buddha was leaving his body, there was one person who was very closely following Buddha all the time. All the time. He was under the impression that I am with Buddha all the time, so I will definitely be making it. I'll definitely make it because nobody else is getting this chance to be with Buddha all the time. It always happens when great personalities come. You will see one or two all the time holding on like that. And they will not allow others also to come in. They will stop them. Because they think that this relationship is very important for them. So what he did was, he had one person called Ananda, who was a very close associate of Lord Buddha. So Ananda was with Buddha all the time. So at the time when Buddha was leaving this world, Ananda says to Buddha, addressing him, he said like this, that so many years I have served you, but I never realized the truth. He says to Buddha, like the way you have realized. Buddha looked at Ananda and told him, and that's exactly the mistake you have done. He said that you are thinking that I was going to do it for you, isn't it? Buddha's answer to Ananda was like this. You are thinking that I was going to do it for you. I had to find the truth myself. Similarly, you also have to find your truth. That is the spiritual life. that you also have to realize the truth yourself. Nobody is going to do it for you. So Ananda was thinking that up to this point, even after following Buddha so closely, it did not happen to him. And he was just like, I have found out the truth, you also have to find it out in a hard way. That was Buddha's instructions to Ananda at that point. If you look in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna will also say the same thing. Only thing is, we try to close our eyes towards those verses. Uddhared Atman Atmanam, Atmanam Avasadayel, Atmanyai Atmano Bandhu, Atmai Varibura Atmanaha. It's a verse in the 6th chapter, I think. Uddhared Atman Atmanam, Krishna says, you have to come out, your own. Atmanam Avasadayel, Atmanyai Atmano Bandhu. Atma, soul has got only one friend, that's the soul itself. And the mind, if you can use it for elevating yourself, Krishna says, he is your friend, otherwise he is your enemy. Actually, when this verse is spoken in Bhagavad Gita, it is not actually referring to the soul. You must know that. Why? Because what Krishna is referring to there is, Atma refers to the soul as well as sometimes to the mind, body and everything. All the things. All these things are in a mixed up condition in us, isn't it? In a mixed up state in us. Because as I said before, that our perception of what we are, if you ask somebody, he will say that, he may not completely say, I am spirit soul, but then he will also not say, I am this body. He will also won't say, I am the mind. Then if you ask him, what are you, he will have no answer. Isn't it? That is the most of the people in this situation. They have not realized the truth, they are the soul, so they can't answer they are the soul. Somebody is telling from inside, you are not this body. And mind is constantly changing, like the body. Mind is constantly changing. So in the middle of all these things, we develop a nature in us, and that is that nature Krishna is referring to, Svabhavam, or one's own nature. That is what that verse refers to. Uddhared Atman Atmanam. So Krishna is saying there, unless you change that nature and come to self-realization, that point, it is not possible to turn towards the soul, to the Swarupam or one's own self. It is not possible to come to self-realization. That's the point Krishna is making there. And if you look at Bhagavad Gita once again, you will see Krishna begins with this subject in the very beginning itself, isn't it? If you look into the 2nd chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, one of the most important instructions what Krishna has given there, and it is the most important verse in the Bhagavad Gita also, that Nasate Vidyade Bhavo, if you remember that verse, Na Bhavo Vidyade Sada, Bhayorabhi Drishtvandam Stanayortha Tudarshivi. In the 2nd chapter, when Krishna started speaking to Arjuna, the very fundamental knowledge in Bhagavad Gita is begin with this understanding. Search for the permanent, search for the permanent, search for the permanent and permanent only. What is permanent? That's the only thing you should be searching for. So when you keep searching, when you start thinking, identifying with the body, body is changing, isn't it? Body is constantly changing. In fact, if you look into, say, there's so many things in this, it's a very interesting topic also, because say a man and a woman got married and they were young, say about 20, 25 years old. They looked at each other, they got married. After say about 40 years, if you ask the wife, whom did you marry? She will definitely say, I married so and so. But if you look at him, he's not the same person whom she married 40 years ago. Was it? That person is gone. That person whom she has married has gone. It is the same thing with the husband and the wife from the other way also. If you ask the husband, she will say, I married such and such a lady, but that person doesn't exist. By now, everything has changed in the body. So definitely it is not the body, isn't it? So whom did we marry then? So in other words, if you think about it, you will see that the relationship between the husband and the wife at that time when they got married, and 40 years after also, that relationship hasn't changed. Although body has changed. Body has changed, but relationship hasn't changed. The man, the husband will still see the wife calling by the particular a name, or that relationship over 40, 50 years has been between two individuals, the souls. It's not between the body. Because if it was the body, they don't know each other anymore. The body has changed for both of them. Even the scientists agree that every 7 years or so, all the cells in the body gets replaced. Isn't it? All the cells in the body gets replaced. So what is left in this body to identify with? So this constant change of body, what is happening to us, is what Krishna is referring to, nasade vidyade bhavo. Therefore, the first thing to reject is this body. But the consciousness inside has not changed. Consciousness inside, what is that consciousness? Consciousnesses come from the soul, the Bodhamandalam, it is called. Bodhamandalam means it is eternal, it is pure, it is free from all other conditioning, pure, and it is conscious. Everything exists in that soul, soul's nature. And that thing which is coming from the soul hasn't changed. And it is that part that is keeping contact with every other living entity in this world. So, whenever we are in communication with others, we must realize this one point. The person whom we are communicating with, we are not seeing. And the person whom we are seeing, we are not communicating with. Do you get the point there? The person whom we are seeing, we are not communicating with. The person whom we are communicating with, we are not seeing. You see, if you accept this, you can see that in throughout your life, whomever you had contact at different times, they have all changed. All of them have gone. What is now left is that you had been in communication with that person whom you have never seen. Whom you have never seen. That person, my body has changed. Not only body has changed, the mind has also changed. The mind of that person. Just like two people, they went to school together. And school, they were very close friends. They knew each other very well. 30, 40 years gone, they went to different places. They worked, they retired, they came back, they met each other. Will that relationship exist in the same way like before? Can they build the relationship exactly the same way like before? That's not possible. That's not possible. Because all this time, they were under the impression that, as I mentioned, the persons whom you are seeing, you are not communicating with. And the person you are communicating with, you are not seeing any time. And this is called Maya. How Maya keeps us in this control all the time. So many things we do in this world, if you look at it, you will see that everything is not very straightforward. It's not very straightforward. There is an element of something unknown in there. There's an element of Vilachana Stula Sushmal Dehad Almekshida Sudrit Yadhagnar Daruno Dahyo Dahagonya Prakashagaham. That therefore, because it is like that, Shastram is saying to us, don't identify with the body, because that body doesn't exist. The body doesn't exist. And never take shelter of the body, because it doesn't exist. It's not permanent. You should not take shelter of the body, but you can use the body for purpose, whatever it's meant for. At that particular time, what is available from the body. That's all. That is the important thing. You cannot identify with the body, thinking that I am the body, and live in that consciousness. On the other hand, you should know, because of its temporary nature, this is why it is so. Because it is temporary, one should not take shelter of the body. If you take shelter of the body, you will be disappointed. Krishna said, that's why that verse, Nasade vidyade bhavo, na bhavo vidyade sadaha.
ഉഭയോരഭിദൃഷ്ട്വാന്തം സ്തനയോർ തത്വദർശിഭി തത്വദർശിഭി റിയലൈസ് ദിസ് ഈസ് റിയലൈസേഷൻ ഗോയിങ് സട്ടിൽ ആൻഡ് സട്ടിൽ ആൻഡ് സട്ടിൽ ഇൻസൈഡ് ആൻഡ് അണ്ടർസ്റ്റാൻഡിങ് ദാറ്റ് ഓൾ ദി ടെമ്പററി തിങ്സ് ഹാവ് ടു ബി ടേക്കൺ ഔട്ട് need not be taken into account at all. And they are not of much help to you in your spiritual life also. They cannot help you because their very existence is like that, temporary in nature, always temporary. Like you have changed your body so many times from boyhood to youth to old age, and death also in the same way. All of them are temporary situations. If body is like that, what about the mind? Is mind anyway different? Mind is also not different. Mind is also changing. Continuously as the thoughts keep coming, the nature of the mind is also changing. It's called Chittavritti. The activities of the mind is also equally changing. I am not this body. Exactly like the soul, the body, the mind also, you have to use it, but not to identify with the mind, not to take shelter of the mind. Anyone who takes shelter of the mind thinking that, oh, in my mind I thought about this. Yes, you can keep thinking in your mind whatever you want, but only thing you will end up, everything will get ultimately in a mess. That's all. That's what mind will do. This is why from spiritual platform, to take shelter of the body or to take shelter of the mind is not good. Because if you are in the mental platform, you are in a difficult situation. And therefore, one has to come out of this mind and the body. Both things are strongly recommended from the spiritual point of view. Therefore, what it says here that in the middle of all these things, one has to recognize the fact that I am that substance which doesn't change. The thing what doesn't change at all. Therefore, Krishna is saying there that that material nature will handle these things. Which one? The mind and the body. That is in the control of the material nature. You have to leave that to the material nature to sort that mind and the body. That's its duty. So, because it is like that, from these words onwards, Vilakshana Sthula Sushman Dehad Almekshida Sodrak Yadhagnar Daryuno Dahyo Dahagonya Prakashaka. That the soul, when it is in its dormant state, you can only perceive the soul in this way. You cannot understand the soul in any other way. It is at this point that this verse in the Bhagavad Gita becomes very prominent. Which one? Nasade vidyade bhavo, na bhavo vidyade sadha. If this fundamental principle is not accepted, then all other understanding of the soul also very difficult to come through. Because this is that thing that separates the soul from the body. What is that thing? That soul is permanent, body is temporary. Soul is permanent, mind is temporary. So this temporary and permanent, that relationship with the soul and the body is something to be very seriously taken note of. Though, while referring to this, we're talking about this, that Krishna says there that in practical life, the Upanishad's point is this, in practical life alone, you can see this, that if someone sees another person after a long time in life, he will say to him, oh, you have changed a lot, isn't it? You have changed a lot in appearance. You have changed a lot. So immediately you start thinking, I have not changed. What have I changed? He is telling me, because I can't see my own change, can I? It is continuously changing though. But I don't know whether it is changing, but somebody is telling me, after a long time he sees me and he says to me, you have changed. But if I have to notice the change in me, I need a photograph when I was young, say 15 or 20 years old, and I need a photograph of now and compare both and say, yes, I can agree, I have changed. Otherwise, the change does not, because inside me, the concept that I is called in connection with the body. It's in connection with the soul. I am still on my very much realization that I am the soul. And due to what we have got now, is not this difference in the identification with the body, but our false ego inside makes us to think in terms of the body. This is called Sharira Abhimanam, not Sharira Bhodam. In Sanskrit, that is how it refers to. What we have got now is Sharira Abhimanam. That means the false ego has developed inside. And that false ego has made me to think that I am this body. And in accordingly, I am reacting with every situation in this world. So Krishna says here that is there any time that you are free from your identity as the soul? Never. That is the only thing what you have got all the time. This is the most important thing. You may change your body, you may leave this body, you may accept another body, or you may grow in this body from boyhood to youthhood, old age, but all the time I am the person is not changing. I, that concept in my me, aham, is aham asmi. I am always there. That has not gone away from me. When you were a little boy, when you were playing with other children, you always refer to as I. And you are still referring to as I. And when you are 90 years or when you are leaving this world, still you will refer to it as I. Isn't it? So that I is not changing. And what has changed is this body has changed. It is in relationship with the body, but unfortunately, when we talk to people in relationship with the body, we talk to them. Isn't it? We talk to them in relationship with the body. So Krishna says here, Nirodholpatti anubrihan nanatvam talkridan gunan andapravishtamadhatta evam deha gunan paraham. So in the next verse, if you look, Krishna is saying here, with this example of fire, I suppose all this is not very interesting, is it? You may be thinking, oh, this is such a boring, all this. Ekadasha Skandam is so boring to so many people. I'm also aware that may not be staying in the mind also. You may think that what does it got to do with me, my body? That's what you'll be thinking. That because our that depth of identification with the body is so strong, that as soon as a mosquito bites, immediately you will change your attention from Ekadasha Skandam to mosquito. This is how we are. This is how closely we are attached with this body. So because it is like that, sometimes Ekadasha Skandam needs much deeper reflection. This all has to be read and thought through. Because that is how Krishna is explaining to Uddhava. That this knowledge in the 10th chapter, particularly in this 10th chapter, is very much on a subtle level it's spoken. And spoken in such a way that somehow or the other, if you hear that, probably it will stay sometime in some stage in life, it may come useful, if not today. Today it may not come useful because you are very much in the bodily level, thinking in that way. But some point in time, it can happen in life when one becomes a little bit more inwards. When you start looking inwards, when you had enough of this world, in other words, when you had enough of this world and you start thinking there is something beyond than this in this life, at that time this may help to understand what Krishna is saying here. So, so in the next verse Krishna is saying here that the importance of firewood, example he gave there, Nirolpatya anubrihan nanatvam talkridan gunan anda pravishtamadhata evam deha gunan paraha. When the fire entered the firewood, that all the characteristics of the firewood happens to characteristics of the firewood appears to happen to the fire as well, isn't it? appears to happen to the fire also. For example, the firewood has, after some time it burns off. And firewood has got a birth, isn't it? The firewood has come from the wood. So wood was born at a particular time and it got burned and it died. So Krishna is saying there, these things, what has happened to the wood, what has happened to the wood, we, in false understanding, we impose this on the soul. This is an important point. That what we have, when we gave this example, this also you have to take into account. That you are thinking that the fire entered into the firewood, took that form of the firewood, burned the firewood, and when the wood is completely burned, it disappeared. The wood disappeared, all that is left is a little bit of ashes. Similarly, the soul entered the body, and soul has made the body to function, mind to function, intelligence to function, senses to function, false ego to function. Everything, it was functioning because of the presence of the soul. Eventually the soul withdrew from the body, and we think, just like the firewood got disappeared when it is finished and burned the wood, we think the body is finished and therefore the fire is also, the soul is also finished. Is it not? We think like that, isn't it? This is bodily concept of life. That when we are not able to see there at that point, in this verse, that's what he's saying. Nirolpatyanubriham nanatvam talkridan gunan andapravishtamadhatta evam deha gunan paraham. That although the soul is different from the body, it has happened that we seem to identify with the body. And then next question, Krishna is asking, how did this happen? How did this misunderstanding come to us? That we have become constantly identifying with the body like this. And the answer to that is spoken. Krishna says here, the reason for that is adhyasam. Adhyasam means that the Shastric word they have used is that the, when the soul is behind the scene functioning, we tend to think all the time this body as us, and we accept is that in my experience I am this body, and in all my dealings with this world, with the mind and the false ego, I have taken the body as me, and that is called adhyasam. Actually we are not the body, but due to my own constant hammering that I am this body, which I've done. And for many, many lifetimes and even in this life, the result of that is that I am now finding it difficult to trace it back to my real identity. I'm finding it difficult to trace it back to my real identity. So Krishna is saying here that that this experience, that this experience that I am this body has to be got rid of somehow. This experience has to be got rid of somehow. And if we do that, then we are also realized souls. That's all self-realization means. Self-realization means once we get rid of this ignorance from us that I am not this body, I am not this mind, I am not this intelligence, I am not this false ego, I am different, who is actually making all these things function, and I am that. If I can go back to that, then I am self-realized. This is the point Krishna is making. So going back is the problem. So self-realization is something which Bhagavadam and Bhagavad Gita stresses a lot importance to it, for this reason only, that it is from this platform our real spiritual life begins. After coming to that platform, because so till then, in the conditioned state, whatever spiritual activities we are performing, it is not done in knowledge. It's not done in knowledge. It is done. A lot of things are done in ignorance. A lot of ignorance in us, and it is because of that. Sometimes so many things happens in this world, and we start giving a spiritual coloring to it, isn't it? We start thinking, oh, something happened, and say I won a lottery. I start thinking, oh, Krishna must be definitely wants to help me. That's why he's given me this lottery. This is all on a material level. This has nothing to do with spirituality. So there is spiritual life before realization and the spiritual life after realization. The spiritual life after realization is proper spiritual life. That's bhakti. That is bhakti. All this bhakti what we are talking about prior to that, strictly speaking, it is our own mental concoction. A lot of it is our own mental concoction. Suppose somebody gets sick and by chance he escapes from the illness. By chance means something has happened, he was meant to live, plus his prarabdham was not finished, he has to live in the body further. We start saying, look at him, oh, he's such a great devotee, Krishna has cured everything. See, only he has been cured. So many others are also getting cured, we are not taking that into account. Sometimes in best hospitals, so many people also get cured. So there is no credit for the hospital at that time, only credit for Krishna. So if you look at all these things, you can see that many things are spoken without proper understanding behind it, that we tend to impose our own spiritual understanding of these things. And in that way, we develop a certain understanding, and from there, our own conclusions also on that. That's what Krishna is saying here, that a realized person in a confused state, when everything is mixed up with the mind, with the body, with the self and with intelligence and all that, it'll be very difficult for him to come out with proper knowledge. And that is why we have to take the shelter of Bhagavad Gita, Upanishads, Bhagavatam and other Vedic literature. And they are the only literature who can guide us through because of our conditioned state. There is no other way. There is no other way. So Krishna is saying here that that Krishna's presence inside, first we have to recognize. Krishna is present in everyone, isn't it? And throughout Bhagavatam also you will notice this one point. So many devotees and Krishna himself talking about this, that recognize Krishna's presence in everyone. And you cannot recognize Krishna's presence in everyone till you recognize Krishna's presence within yourself first. Isn't it? Unless we recognize Krishna within us, where is the question of seeing Krishna elsewhere? So this is a very important point that is mentioned here. So, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, in the first verse itself, if you see, in the first verse itself, what Krishna has started with, Sudeva Goswami started with, there the importance is mentioned there, Janmadhyasya Yadonvaya Idharasya Atesh Abhijna Swarad, isn't it? There also you won't see that what is referring to is that consciousness in there, the consciousness. As I mentioned before, from Brahma Sutram, Vedavyasa Maharshi made commentary Srimad Bhagavatam. Srimad Bhagavatam is commentary to Brahma Sutram. Brahma Sutram is also known as Vedanta Sutram. So while writing this commentary, in the first four sutras from the Brahma Sutram, he took it and put it in the first verse in the Bhagavatam itself. The first four sutras from Brahma Sutram, Vedavyasa Maharshi took it and put it in the first verse in the Bhagavatam itself. That is why that first verse in the Srimad Bhagavatam is one of the most important verses. In other words, everything that is explained after that in the Srimad Bhagavatam is nothing but a complete elaboration of this first verse. As I said here, the first verse in the Brahma Sutram is Adhado Brahma Jinyasa. Adhado Brahma Jinyasa. And it is exactly that spirit is what is coming through Satyam Param Dhimahi. So if you look at the word Satyam Param Dhimahi in the first verse, if you see the last words in the in the first verse is Satyam Varam Dhimahi, isn't it? It is this Satyam Varam Dhimahi, where does it come from? It comes from Athatho Brahma Jinyasa. So which is the first sutram in the Brahma Sutram. Similarly, the second sutram in the Brahma Sutram is Janmadhyasya Yadaha, which Vedavyas brings it here, yes? Janmadhyasya Yadonvayad. It is the same words from the Brahma Sutram. As it is, Vedavyas has put it into this verse. So, similarly, if you look into the third sutram also, it says there, Shastra Yonitvad. That is what it says in the sutram. The difficulty with sutram is that whatever the sages had to say, they'll speak in one or two words. And it requires elaborate explanation. That is why acharyas have commented on them in great detail. And if you look, there are commentaries on the Brahma Sutra by all the great acharyas. They have commented, very elaborate purport they have given. And they will also give you on each of these, all these sutrams, they will also give you a purvapaksha. Purvapaksha means that an argument, they will put forward the argument and they will defeat that argument with another argument. In this way they have presented to get that clarity to us, to get the, give the clarity to us. So the third sutram called Shastra Yonitvad has come in the Bhagavatam as Tene Brahma Hridaya. The words in that, what you find is Tene Brahma Hridaya Adi Kavaye. That is that same Shastra Yonitvad has come. And eventually, the last one, Tattva Samanvayad. That is the fourth sutram in the Brahma Sutram, which comes in the Srimad Bhagavatam as Anvayad Itarata. Janmadhyasya Yadonvayad Idaradas Charteshva Bhijnaswarad Tene Brahma Hridaya Adikavaye Mukhyandiyat Suraya Tejo Vari Mridam Yadha Vinimayo Yatra Trisargo Mrisha Dhamna Svena Sada Nirasta Guhagam Satyam Param Dhimahi. So you can see this first verse already has taken control of the four sutras from Brahma Sutra. And because of this, this first verse is an important verse in the Bhagavatam, and it is nothing but the elaboration of this first verse, the whole remaining Srimad Bhagavatam is. That's why it is an important verse. Then, so, having said that, Krishna spoke about one important thing before, that this knowledge, what has been spoken in Brahma Sutra, what has been spoken in Upanishads, what has been spoken in Bhagavad Gita, they are all the same knowledge. Knowledge is the same. Knowledge is exactly the same. But then why has it been spoken in this way? Because the truth, if one is trying to approach the truth, truth cannot change. Truth remains the same. In the process of approaching that truth, because our vasanas and our karmam is different, karma vasanas are different, each of our mind is different, you will not know which one will clear your mind from the doubts. You see, which one will clear your mind from the doubts. Therefore, whatever the truth that is spoken in Brahma Sutram is present in Bhagavad Gita. Whatever truth that is spoken in Bhagavad Gita is present in the Upanishads. It's all been spoken in different, through different samvadam. Samvadam means two personalities talking to each other. Like if you look into Srimad Bhagavatam, you'll find a lot of samvadam, isn't it? Between Sudha Maharshi and Shaunaka Rishi, there is a conversation. Between Sukadeva Goswami and Parikshit, there is a conversation. Vidura and Maitreya, there is a conversation. Between Brahma, Lord Brahma and Narada Maharshi, there is a conversation. Between Narada Maharshi and Vedavyas, there is a conversation. Are they discussing anything different? No. The subject is exactly the same. The same truth they are all trying to realize. But you may not know which of these discussions will reveal the truth in your head. That you can never say. Therefore, in Srimad Bhagavatam, so many conversations are spoken in so many places. Prahlada speaking to Narada Maharshi, Prahlada speaking to his friends. where he talked about self-realization. Can you see anywhere the knowledge that's spoken is different? There is no difference. The same Sri Narada Maharshi speaks to Prahlada in his when he was in the womb about Jagrat, Swapnam, Sushupti, about Buddhi, mind, intelligence. Everything is spoken at that time to Prahlada also. And the same thing Krishna is talking to Uddhava in Ekadasha Skandam also. So you can see one thing, spiritual knowledge never changes. It remains in all circumstances. But because of our mind and our conditioned state, we are finding it very hard to break from this conditioning. It does require different presentations at different times by different persons, and which may have helped us to come to the truth. That's the reason why it's spoken like this. When it's spoken through Brahma Sutram, we could not understand. So Vedavyasa Maharshi wrote Bhagavatam. Now after reading Bhagavatam, we are saying we can't understand this also. So what should Vedavyasa do now? What shall we ask him to do now? If we keep saying, so many options he has given us. We don't have to keep on running around all over the world looking for this spiritual knowledge. Spiritual knowledge is already there. Krishna says the knowledge is inside us. What Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam, Brahma Sutram, they're all doing is that ignorance that ajnanam or ignorance that has covered us has to go from inside. And then the knowledge will come out. Because as I said before, and it is there in the Upanishads also, we all know that we are not this body. It's not that we don't know this. We know it. But due to this ahankaram inside, false ego inside, we have identified with the body. So what Krishna is saying there is, remove this false ego from inside and then your mind will be clear and you will be properly situated in the self. You won't be anymore. So that brings us to the point that ahankaram or false ego is a real problem. And we may all declare ourselves very humble and very noble souls. But how much false ego is inside, it is something which we can't even measure. So because of all these things, while we're discussing Srimad Bhagavatam, we have to make our mind always to understand and think about it, what Krishna has spoken in each of these verses. And continuously discussing that is important. It's important. Because it is this thing that will wipe off that ignorance that has covered us. Otherwise, it won't go. Therefore, he is saying it. That is why it is said that the person you are approaching for spiritual realization must be self-realized. Only if the lamp is burning, you can light the lamp from that lamp. You can light your own lamp from that lamp. If that person is not realized, then it is not going to, you cannot light it yourself, your own lamp. So this is the one of the, Krishna talked about this before, isn't it? Madabhityam Gurum Shandam Upasidam Adalmagam. Krishna's talking about the realizations, he said that. That realization can only, is such a thing that it can only be brought in from a person who already got it. The lamp is burning inside. And therefore in the commentaries on the Upanishads also it said jnanam sannyasa lakshanam, that realization is whole thing, that from realization only somebody else can get that realization. But because many requirements what Krishna has spoken about, first thing is that he should have studied Upanishads, Brahma Sutram, Bhagavad Gita, all this literature very well. Very well. He should have studied it very well. Number one requirement. Number two, whatever, if he has studied well, then he should realize that thing, what he has studied completely. So first thing, he should study well, he should know it well, deep down. And then he should realize that knowledge, what he has acquired from the Shastram. And what was the third thing? Brahmani Uparataha. He should not have any more other plans in this world. If somebody has any plans in this world, you can take it that he has not completely situated in that platform. That's why other plans keeps coming. Brahmani Uparataha. Uparataha means that he is able to completely experience that bliss, blissful state of realization, spiritually realized state all through. Otherwise, it's not possible to stay in that. He has not reached that state. That's what means. Suppose somebody has one material desire. Let's go it this way. If one has, somebody says to you, I've got one material desire. Would you believe that he has got only one material desire? Will you accept it? If he has one material desire, you can take it that he has millions of material desire behind it. That is the Upanishad saying. Upanishad says this. If you have one small material desire inside, you have many more material desires inside, hidden inside. It may not coming out. At that moment you have only one, but next moment you may have another one. That's the point. Krishna is making that. So, important thing is that Upanishads are pointing out to this fact that when we're talking about the Guru, what's what he was saying, isn't it? That he was saying that Madhavityam Gurum Shantam Upasidam Adalmagam. Why Krishna was qualifying that in this way was that he should not desire anything else except the welfare of the others. Welfare of the others. If he has some other desires inside, any desire inside, then that person cannot offer realization to somebody else. You cannot get it from him. It will cover the knowledge. It will cover the knowledge. So spiritually realized soul, the way to see these things are, Krishna is giving you some hint towards that. First thing, thorough knowledge of the Shastram. Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, Brahma Sutram, Upanishads, all the Vedic literature. Secondly, complete realization of that knowledge within himself. And the best and the last test to see if he is situated in that platform is how much he has other desires in this world. How much he has other desires in this world. Because even in the modern world, these are important things. Because people are very much misled in many instances. They may think that they are carried away by the glamour of spiritual personalities. But glamour doesn't help here. What will help us? If we follow these instructions, you will escape, he will also escape. If you don't follow and you don't take these things seriously, what Krishna is saying here, you won't get there, he also won't get there. That also Krishna says. That if we don't take these things in our understanding spiritual life, as Krishna is saying here, because in these situations, the only shelter is Krishna, nobody else. Nobody else. That is why Krishna is called Jagat Guru, isn't it? The only Supreme Spiritual Master. Why Krishna is called Supreme Spiritual Master? Because only Krishna has revealed this understanding to us so specifically and so clarified, everything fully clear to us, so that people don't fall into this trap. Probably Krishna knew in Kali Yuga there will be more unauthorized personalities who will be taking up his responsibility. And he did not want people to confuse, so he gave it to us in writing everything. What can he do more than this? He has given it to us in writing, but still we won't look at the book, we look at the person. This is us. We won't look at the book, because books, who knows what's written, whether it's right or wrong. Person should be right. This is what we think, isn't it? But it's not that way. Vedic literature, meaning never changed. None of the 900-700 verses in the Bhagavad Gita never changed. The Bhagavad Gita which was spoken 5,000 years ago and what's available today is the same. Translation purport, you can edit it and change it if you like. But verses haven't changed. Srimad Bhagavatam, same thing. 18,000 verses what was spoken then is still available there. Krishna made sure that that remained intact. He couldn't guarantee about translation purport. That commentators have come and done what they want and gone. But the message what Krishna has given will remain for those who are seeking for the truth. They will remain in this world. And therefore, that is why it is said, no matter whether Kali Yugam comes, Satyugam comes, Treta Yugam comes, Dwapara Yugam comes, doesn't matter. All the time, there will be people seeking the truth in this world. And they will find the truth here. And that is already there, Krishna's guarantee. That is why, under no circumstances, you can give an excuse that it is Kali Yugam, now I am not going to do anything. People do that, isn't it? They say, oh, because it's Kali Yugam, I can't do anything now. It's Kali Yugam, what can I do? The whole world is like this. This is all rubbish. Totally rubbish. Krishna doesn't accept this kind of excuses. Krishna is saying, if you have understood what I have spoken in Bhagavad Gita, if you are convinced about it, Nasade vidyade bhavo na bhavo vidyade sadha ubhayoravi drishtvandam stanayor tatudarshibhi. Krishna is not talking something from the blues. He is not pulling out something from the air. He says, Tattva Darshibi, from time immemorial, realized souls have accepted this. Oh, what is the difficulty? That's Krishna's question to us. Where is the difficulty? Krishna is saying there, from time immemorial, Stanayor Tattva Darshibi, whoever has realized the truth, they have all realized the same thing. And that is the beauty of it. And not 5,000 years ago, millions of years ago, when it goes right back to the time, when the Upanishad's time, from then it existed. They have realized it. And now Krishna is talking to Arjuna, and Krishna is also talking to Uddhava, the same thing. So the knowledge hasn't changed at any time. And that knowledge will stay in this world. Krishna's point is, one who is searching after the truth, the knowledge is there. And it is, he can build on top of that everything else. So, that is what in that verse is saying. Nirodhalpatyanubrahan nanatvam talkridan gunan andapravishtama adatta evam deha gunan bharam. And then, having said that, Krishna is saying that if this is, so far what we have spoken, if this is understood and accepted, then what one should do after that? This is what Krishna is going to discuss from now on. That basic principle that we are, what are we? We are not this body. We are not this mind. We are not this intelligence. We are not this false ego. We are not these senses. None of these, because they are all changing. And you are the one who doesn't change. That's the point Krishna is making. You never change. You exist forever. You exist forever. And that is where we have to hold on to. If we hold on to body, hold on to mind, we will be lost in that process. And everything, it is the same thing what Navayogis also spoke to it in their discussions with King Nimi, isn't it? Nimi Navayogi Samvadam, you remember what we discussed? Kavihari Andarisha Prabuddha Pipalayanan Ayurhota Drumala Chamasa Karabaja, the nine sages. When they discussed with Nimi, it is the same topic they discussed. But there it was spoken in a different way. I mean, Nimi Navayogi Samvadam. Here, Krishna is talking to Uddhava the same thing again, so that we may get more clarity from that. But somehow or the other, the message has to sink in. Message has to sink inside. And if we do not hold on to that, if we keep on doubting Bhagavatam all the time, and if we keep reading like that, it won't get very far. We have to shift our way of thinking from our conditioned state to this state what Krishna has discussed here. So we'll continue with that next Sunday. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.
Yeah.